Good to see everybody this morning. Welcome into church. Welcome here to New Life. If you're new here, my name is Jeremy, the senior pastor here. I want to say hi to those of you watching and participating from online in our gathering today. Welcome in. It is good to see you. It is so good to see all of you here today in God's house. And as we begin this, the next to last month of the year, can you believe that? How time has zipped. But here we are, November 2nd. Listen, I have an introduction I'm supposed to do, but I got to wait on the guest speaker to get back in here. So, that sounds right. No, I can't. I have to just like, she said, tell a joke. I have to like be ready for that. And I have to tell an appropriate one too. So I'm at church, so, you know. GW, what's up? It's good to see you. Good to see you, Pearl. Just calling you out in church. You know, these are our dear friends from, they hail from Germantown. They hail from the west side of Tennessee. I hear Miss Judy took a spill. Are you okay? Okay, we're going to pray for you. So, guys, is it okay if we do that? Okay. I mean, we should pray at church, right? Lord, we love you. We thank you for Miss Judy. Ask you to touch her life today. Touch this body to bring healing, strength, and wholeness to her from the top of her head, Lord, to the bottom of her feet. Acknowledge her faith today in your house and touch her life. Strengthen her in the name of the Lord. Lord, we pray for Jackie, who's going to have surgery this week. Ask you to be with her in a special way. Go before her as she prepares herself for this, and that you would prepare everyone who's a part of this procedure, that you go before her and orchestrate everything and set it up. We pray for a good report, Lord, to come forth out of this, and that her recovery will be well and will be good and be swift, and that she will be where she needs to be and better than she was before. We just thank you for that today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for Mr. Thomas and Miss Tina, Lord. They just literally got back from India. Now they're heading back for 5 weeks. So today we pray for our dear brother and sister in the Lord and ask you to cover them as they go. I know their hearts are hurting, the loss of his mother, the passing of his mom. But Lord, today we speak peace and we speak comfort and we speak hope into their lives. Let every need be met. Lord, go before them and prepare the things ahead for their travels and their journey and their destination and their time with family and with his dad. Just ask you to let it be extra special, Lord. Let your grace rest upon them in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, our guest speaker's back, so we're gonna move back forward. Everybody doing okay? All right. Well, guys, I'm excited. Pastor Rick, he's no stranger to us, but if you are new, I want to properly introduce him today to you so you can have a little bit of familiarity with him, a little knowledge about him. But Pastor Rick, his late wife Susan, who passed away at the end of last year, they've been a part of my life for 34 years. 34 years. That's crazy because you're only like, what, 35, you know? So we've been knowing each other for three decades. That's wild. Man, a lot of fun memories over. Yeah, you did. You used to have black hair. That's right. But they were responsible for my spiritual formation in the late teenage years of my life and into early college. They were my youth pastors. They poured themselves into my life over the years, just countless hours of prayer and encouragement and helping me. They discipled me and mentored me to follow Christ and equipped me for ministry, for pastoral ministry. They've been there through some painful parts of my life. They've been there to help correct me when I have gotten off path. They have been there to encourage me through some of the tough seasons of life, and always there, always a phone call away, and thankful and grateful for them. They've been steadfast in ministry and just have not let up. And Pastor Rick continues to serve, continues to pastor, continues to work in the mission field. And about 10 years ago, he began to serve as an outside elder here to our church and makes it a priority to come at least once a year to be with us. And I'm thankful that he makes that time and that sacrifice out of his schedule to get here. He's based out of Phoenix, Arizona, is where the ministry is. But he is a prophetic voice. He's a psalmist, but he's also a really gifted and anointed Bible teacher of God's Word. And so today, would you help welcome my dear brother in Christ, my mentor, Pastor Rick Bennett.
The bearded pastor is here. How long have you been having that? Just a couple of weeks, man. Hallelujah. You're growing it faster on your face than... No, never mind. Good morning. Good morning. Hallelujah. I was telling everybody, I was watching the weather out here, and it was... You guys are about like Arizona up until right before I left. You had all that rain and the temp drop. So I told everybody, I started digging through my clothes trying to find the long sleeves. But anyway, God is good. Hallelujah. Everybody good? Everybody good? All right. Well, I want to get into the Word. I know a lot of people have been in prayer for me and for the ministry. And I just wanted to let you know we're plugging along and we're doing well. Okay, Haley, I told you this is going to work. Now I'm getting nervous. There it is. Hallelujah. I want to share with you today, it's kind of a word that's been on my heart in a lot of places that I go recently. I want to talk to you about what it means to be radically saved in this life. Okay? How many of you know when we live this life, we're living in the natural realm? Would you agree? But see, God's called us to be supernatural, right? We still do natural things, right? But he's called us to be. The word super means over and above the natural. So you really can't have supernatural if you don't have natural. But you can do a lot of things naturally and never have anything super, right? Think about it. Because the two, you have the two. That's why your kingdom come on earth, here in the natural realm, as it is in the heavenly realm. Hallelujah. Does it make sense? And so as we think about that, I just wanted to encourage you with that. But let's think about, for just a moment, about our salvation. Jesus' name is Yeshua, which means salvation. Everybody knows that, right? But if you really take a deep dive on that in the Hebrew, it means to rescue, to help, to defend, to preserve, amen, to make free, to attain victory, and to bring into safety. I mean, that's a good salvation. Hallelujah. And that's everything you think about when you say his name, the only name by which man be saved, Jesus, Yeshua. So it's really important. Now, we are saved by grace through faith. Everybody say faith. It's the gift of God, but you have to apply your faith to receive it. Now, I know we know all that, but the just shall live by, notice that, you shall live this life by faith. Amen? Going from what? Faith to faith, from glory to glory, from strength to strength. It's a living a life in faith and in the realm God called us to. I'm not saying that this is prophetically right now, but I do believe, would you guys agree with me that the world we live in is getting darker? I think we all could say that. And there's things about it, and there's something that was really on my heart to bring up lately, and I've been sharing this at home back in Arizona, but I really felt like the Lord wanted me to share it on this trip back here to the Mid-South. So if you would, go with me to Philippians 2 and verse number 12. Philippians 2 and verse number 12. Hallelujah. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Everybody say it together. Work out your salvation. Amen. With fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you. Everybody say me. Come on. Both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. That's easy, right? So that you will prove yourselves to be what? Blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach. Now, please get this. In the midst of what? A crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear, say it, as lights in the world. So no matter how dark it is, we appear as lights, correct? But we have to be free from that. We have to be free from those things in order to be light. So yes, we're saved from our sins, are we not? We're saved from eternal separation from God. Hallelujah. That is wonderful. But I want to touch on a couple of things. He rescued us from darkness and he brought us into the light. Now, not just when you go to heaven, but in your heart now, he's brought us into the light so that we can shine a light in this dark world in which we live. Now, how many of you know right now we have a fair amount of light? And if you, you know, open up your phone or iPad or whatever, and the light on that would have little to no effect because the room's already lit. Would you agree? So sometimes when we gather together, it's good to gather together, but the impact is not known really as much as if you walked in here and the lights were out. If somebody walked in with just an iPhone, right? And just a screen on, you would notice it immediately, which shows the power of light over darkness. You can't bring darkness into this lit room, right? As long as the light's on. And I really feel like we have to be careful when we look at what's going on in culture and the things we're struggling with, and it's so perplexing what we see, but the Lord is saying, this is the best time ever for you to shine. Amen? Nothing shows off the light more. I heard many years ago, a preacher was using the example. I don't know if they still do it, but it used to be when you would go to get diamonds in a jewelry store, they used to be put out a really dark velvet mat, you know, and they put the diamonds on. You could tell I haven't done this a lot, so I don't remember exactly. but they put the diamonds on. Why? Because the brightness shows great against that backdrop, against that light. You don't put it up against the light. You put it on a dark background. So Jesus said this, you are the light. Is he the light of the world? Yes. But what does he say now to us? You are the light of the world, right? Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven, right? We are the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. But let me just say this. No matter the darkness, we're to still shine brightly, okay? And light is never intimidated by the darkness. The darkness has no impact on the light. No one lights a lamp, Jesus said, and then puts it under a bushel. You say, you're a crazy man. You just lit the lamp, and then you hit it. You threw a blanket over it, right? No one does that, or they shouldn't do that. And yet he calls the church a lampstand to shine light. Amen? And we're to shine clearly and brightly for his glory. I want you to think about something today. What I want to share with you today is you have a treasure within you. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's the brightness of Christ, the Christ that is in you that you're carrying in an earthen vessel. We'll look at that passage in a few minutes. But there's something, what was really on my heart just recently, I've been just praying about a lot of things going on, not just in my life, just in general, in our culture and in our country. And I want to say to you today, there's two things that will hinder your light, that will put a bushel over your light if you're not careful about it. And the first one is this, is we're supposed to be saved from this perverse generation, not to be impacted by it. Would you agree? We're supposed to be saved from it. When Peter gave the initial sermon of the church, the initial altar call, repent and be baptized, amen, for the forgiveness of your sins, and then he said, you shall receive the Holy Spirit, right? But then it goes on to say in the next verse that with many words, Peter exhorted them saying, be saved, which means like be rescued from what? This perverse generation. He didn't say don't be a light to them, but you need to be saved from it yourself. Make sense? And the word there, when you talk about perversion, it literally means whatever is right, it's a slight bend from it or a twist. That's why we said it's perverted. It's compromised, right? If something's not true, it's because it's bent or it's warped or it's perverted. And we see that, do we not? We see things that there's a regular, good, righteous standard for everything from marriage to whatever, right? To gender. And not getting into the controversies today. I'm just saying these things are really a perversion of what was established as right by God. Say amen. And so that's the way. So he said, I want you to be saved from the perversity of a generation so that you can be light. Not so you can be a judge, so you can be a light to them. Amen. Hallelujah. We're in the world, but we're not of it. Hallelujah. Everybody knows that. What does Romans say? Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed. How? Come on now. By the renewing of your mind. Let the Lord renew your mind. Every time you hear the word being preached, allow your mind to be renewed. Every time you read and study, let it change the way you think so you can develop the mind of Christ. Amen. So you could stay true to the plumb line of Scripture and truth. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, we need that today. Because much of the church is not shining because of this very thing. They've not escaped the perversion of their generation. And I would say our generation is probably the most perverted I've ever seen. I've been alive on the planet now for 68 years, almost. And it's just amazing what we see happening. But we can either look at the darkness or we can say, okay, I've got to shine all the more. Amen? And people are going to be drawn to it. I'll show you this in a moment. Now, when Peter wrote his second epistle, he addressed another thing, which is very similar, but it's a little different. Also, we needed to escape and be saved from if we're going to be a light for Christ. And we'll look at this passage in 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1, and look at verse number 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. Everybody have some of that. Amen? In the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has what? Granted to us everything pertaining to what? Life and godliness. Through the true knowledge of him who has called us, come on now, by his own glory and excellence. For by these he's granted to us his precious and his magnificent promises. Anybody glad for the covenant? Amen? So that by them you may become, say it with me together, partakers of the divine nature, having escaped